and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Steve Kathan. Ceremony on Capitol Hill.
America, America.
As the Congressional Gold Medal is awarded to law enforcement people who fought to stop the attackers who tried to upend the peaceful transfer of power nearly 2 years ago, Republican leader Kevin McCarthy.
These brave men and women in uniform stood strong in the line of duty for our country, and we're forever grateful for that. This Congressional Gold Medal commemorates their courage, professionalism, and patriotism.
Now to Georgia, where voting's underway in the U.S. Senate runoff, pitting the Democratic incumbent Raphael Warnock against Republican challenger Herschel Walker.
Most of the voters I spoke with say they wanted to vote early last week and hit the polls before today, but they couldn't because of travel or just life.
We got in late last night and decided to come on right away this morning. I'm ready to go back to bed, though.
Things happen, and I intended to, but I didn't make it, so I said, well, I'm definitely going to vote today.
And all of those who did go in and vote had the same experience as Pam, who tells me it was a breeze.
Quick, fast, and efficient. Everybody was wonderful.
The polls closed tonight at 7. Michelle Wright for CBS News, Atlanta.
Officials in Moore County, North Carolina, say electricity might not be back on till Thursday because of all the damage at two substations caused by vandals. Some people taking advantage of shelters now.
We haven't had hot showers in our house in 2 days, so we're taking advantage of it too.
It's such a great gesture that they're doing to help the community, helping give back with showers, food.
Overseas, power and water are the targets in Ukraine as Russia steps up its cold weather attacks. CBS's Imtiaz Tayyab.
It was a frenzied attack on cities and towns across Ukraine, but Moscow's assault might have been far worse were it not for Ukrainian missile defense forces shooting most of the missiles out of the sky.
Yes, contact!
But that's small comfort for those who've paid the ultimate price, including Olha Trosina's two neighbors. They were seeing off their son and daughter-in-law, she says. They went outside to wave goodbye, and they were killed. Russia has ruthlessly been targeting Ukraine's energy grid. In Kherson, volunteers now have little choice but to cook meals over open fires so that people have something hot to eat.
A new fire at a Russian airport's been blamed on a Ukrainian drone strike. There were two others at air bases yesterday. Ukraine has not confirmed its forces carried out the attacks, but called it karma for the Russian invasion. Checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 250 points. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. This week is National Influenza Vaccination Week, and Aspirus Health is reminding those who are eligible that there is still time to get a flu vaccine to protect against the flu this holiday season. Flu cases are on the rise earlier than usual this year, and it is important to protect yourself and also those around you who are more vulnerable. The shot is needed every year as the virus is constantly changing. Being vaccinated can make the illness milder and reduce the severity of symptoms if you do get sick. The Village Board of Trustees in Whiting just finalized their budget, and after reassessing, property values went up by 40% for 2023. This means property tax fees also went up by more than 20%. It has been 8 years since the last assessment, so a full reassessment was necessary. WAOW News 9 stated some residents were disappointed that the board's actions have led to the tax increases. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Daytime highs approaching 35 this afternoon under cloudy skies, winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 18. Tonight, mainly clear skies. 34 tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Mid-30s Thursday and Friday, with a chance for snow Friday. A dusting of snow Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 28.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Thank you for joining us today during the lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And our guest, the previous half hour and for the rest of this half hour, is the six-time Emmy Award winner, actor, comedian, storyteller, state treasurer, John McGivern. Old friend of Jane's.
Well, old is right.
You know, John, I think we met during Sheer Madness. I think I did one of the guest spots.
Oh, you did?
At Sheer Madness, and that's how we met.
Can we revive that show? Is there a part for me? Could I be in the show if we ever brought it back? Or you're looking at me like you don't want to.
No. It's a lot. The thought of bringing Sheer Madness back is like, oh, my Lord, I'm not sure I want to work that hard. But there's certainly a role that you would be Barbara DeMarco, who is the hairstylist.
I would love that. That is my bucket list. Not that I have the time to do it now, but as far as being back in Wisconsin, like I definitely want to be in a play again at some point. So I have to get in there at the Milwaukee Rep and figure out the right show and if they'd have me.
Sure.
But getting to be on stage again.
We brought Jane in to give the announcement, the radio announcement for the murder of the woman upstairs. And she came and did a live report from the salon.
It's very exciting.
Is there any like vintage footage of this?
Oh, I bet you could find it. There's some stuff on YouTube.
Okay.
There is. Yeah.
All right. Well, so going back to what we were talking about before, which was the wild success of Around the Corner with John McGivern.
Yeah.
And so now you're doing Main Streets,
right?
Which is similar concept, except it's not just Wisconsin. It's across the Midwest, right?
Once, so the pandemic happened and they did not renew Around the Corner. And so Lois and I were sitting in my kitchen one pandemic morning and said, are we done? Because we knew that we were done at least at Milwaukee PBS.
Yeah.
And are we done doing this? And I was getting some inquiries from local television stuff saying, you know, would you be interested in doing morning television? Would you be interested in being on a... And I said to Lois, well, this is, you know, do I want to go 5 days a week at 9 o'clock in the morning and do something on a local? And she said, do you? I'm not so sure. She said, I don't think you do. I said, I don't think I do either. She says, we need to find a way to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we got a hold of Plum Media, who's been around for 25 years. And we talked to a guy who started at Rich Schmagus' name. He started this company.
Okay.
And we said, we've got this show that we did. And she got his number from a friend of hers, texted this guy and said, my name is Lois Marr. I'm sitting in John McGivern's kitchen, and we have this idea for a new TV show. Could we talk to you? He called us in 30 seconds, and
we talked for
an hour and a half from my kitchen. We talked to this guy, and 6 months later, Lois Marr left Milwaukee PBS and headed up John McGivern's Main Streets at Plum Media. Yeah. So it wasn't 2 years out, a year and a half out, and we had a show on the air again. And this was a concept that we thought we would go 300 miles from my front door. I live in downtown Milwaukee, which meant that we went to Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And we would do two episodes in each of those states, three in our home state of Wisconsin. And Dan Carey from Plum built the network. We played on commercial television our first season. We played in 28 markets Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. Here in Milwaukee, we played on Fox 6 Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. And now this is next season two is going back to PBS.
There you go.
And PBS Wisconsin out of Madison is our distributor.
Okay.
And they're distributing John McGivern's Main Streets to all of those PBS markets in the six surroundings, in the six states that we cover. So, and we start airing on January 19th.
That's so exciting.
It's really exciting.
So what are the cities for this coming season that you hit?
In Wisconsin, we did the Menominee Valley in Milwaukee.
Okay.
That's one of our episodes. Dodgeville, which is down near Mineral Point on the way to Iowa. It's the... and De Pere, Wisconsin. So those are three.
Okay.
We did...
Have you been to any of those in... the previous show? Or are they all new for you?
We haven't covered anything that we covered in Around the Corner yet.
Wow,
yeah.
Nice.
So, Iowa, we did the Amana Colonies. Have you ever heard of the Amana Colonies?
Oh, I don't know much about Iowa, if I'm being honest.
Nor do I. And we did Iowa City, which, University of Iowa, in Iowa City, which is kind of in a remarkable, kind of brilliant little town, all about writers and readers and people who are literary figures. You know, they have the Writers' Workshop in Iowa City, and I'm telling you, it's kind of a remarkably beautiful little progressive town, which I love.
Yeah,
yeah. In Indiana, we did Goshen, Indiana. Have you ever heard of Goshen?
No.
You know what it's known for?
No.
It's known because it's the world headquarters for building RVs. Like they build RVs.
Like the campers?
The campers.
Oh my gosh.
Goshen, Indiana.
Goshen.
Yeah. And we took a tour of building a beautiful RV. But what a great little main street. It's kind of quintessential small town, town square, beautiful courthouse. I mean, just Goshen, Indiana. And we also did, what was our second one? Oh, Fort Wayne, Indiana, which I had no idea that Fort Wayne, Indiana was the second largest city in the state. Excuse me.
I would, it's bigger than, so the number one's Indianapolis.
Of course.
And then you know of Bloomington because of IU, but Fort Wayne is bigger.
Huh. Second.
All right.
And a huge Catholic population with a Catholic museum, which kind of, you know, I'm this Irish Catholic boy who I was like, oh my Lord, look at the vestments. This is heaven. Michigan. Where did we go in Michigan? We went to first time up to the UP. We did Escanaba.
Okay.
And we did Holland.
With the tulips?
With the tulips. Oh. We didn't do tulip time because they said, don't come here during tulip time. It's too crazy.
Okay.
So we went to Holland towards the end of our shooting schedule.
I think I went there as a child. I feel like, because I'm part Dutch.
Oh, you are?
And I feel like there was... pictures of me in wooden shoes around tulips in Holland, Michigan.
There better be. The wooden shoes are all over.
I mean, they're not very comfortable. No. Those wooden shoes. No. I don't know why that was such a popular thing for so long. Because that'll get you some tough feet.
They're still wearing them though, aren't they? People like it's like I'm not. I really don't understand any of it.
It's like we have new technology. You don't have to keep wearing these.
Right.
So how do you guys pick? How do you do the research to pick where you're going to go?
There's a team at Plum. We have four content producers that we divvy up the 13 communities, and we sit around preseason before we start shooting, and we all kind of throw in a hat where we want to go, what we want to do, where we think would be a great community. Then the content producers get involved and say, these are the ones I want. And it's kind of collaborative. There's a group of 12 people who really kind of work full time on this show.
Yeah.
And it's really collaborative around, you know, who does what and how they do it. And then the team goes out and does all the research before, you know, and by the time I show up, which is in the back of a van with my
down
name all over
it.
Exactly. For our first day of shooting, the time that's gone into that research and who we're going to cover, what we're going to do, and the schedule, 3.5 days of nonstop that's been completely scheduled. So, and I get all of the stand-up stuff that I do that needs to be memorized. I've got, you know, it's people have no clue. As you said, you know, let's pull the curtain back and see what it's like. It's a lot.
Well, it's, you know, and the point is to make it look easy, right? When we look, when we watch late night shows and the hosts and doing a live show every night where they're doing stand up and then they're doing interviews and they're introducing guests and like, it's supposed to look easy. And that's what makes it entertaining, but it's not. And I feel like the memorization for you, the interviewing people, the travel, just the travel can be exhausting. And so, and then to have this final product and it be kind of invisible of how many people and how much work went into making it look so fun, so easy, so light.
All of the pre-production and then all of the production, and then it's, you know, 28 minutes of television.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, well, that's easy. It's like,
I could do that.
There you go.
Well, maybe. So you finish that show and basically you've had a month of rest and now you're gearing up to do your Christmas show again, which is a live show.
Which I open on Friday in Cedarburg at the Cedarburg Performing Arts Center. And I'm doing a show called Kodachrome Christmas, which is a show that's been written by a man named Pat Hazel. Pat Hazel also wrote a show that I did called Wonder Bread Years. And he also wrote Bunk Bed Brothers, which is a show that I've done locally. And he was one of the head writers for Seinfeld for years.
Okay, so he's funny. So he's funny.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he wrote this show, and I flew to Pittsburgh to see when he premiered this show, and it was a woman playing a woman named Earlene Hoople, who is a cable access talk show hostess, taping her Christmas special in front of a live audience, her studio audience, hence the audience in the theater. So I flew to Pittsburgh, my partner Steve and I flew to Pittsburgh to see the premiere of the show, and I said to Pat, I said, you should make Earlene Earl, and then I'll do it. And he said, you know, the heart of this show is about what women do to make the holidays the best. And it wouldn't work with Earl. It'll work with Earlene. And I believe that you could play Earlene. And I'm like, you're crazy. I can't do it. And this was 2012 is the first time I put the wig on and the Spanx and the kitten heels.
And you became Earlene.
And I became Earlene. And now I look forward to it. I do.
Yeah.
I do. It's really, I've done it probably 3 seasons since 12. I haven't done it for 5 years, so I'm thrilled to do it again.
So it's 7 shows, 2 different cities.
Cedarburg Performing Arts Center this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and 4 shows there, and then 3 shows at the Oconomowoc Arts Center.
Okay.
And that's 2 shows, a show on Saturday and a show on Sunday the following weekend. And then I'm done.
And then you're done for the holidays. Where can people find tickets if they want to go see you live?
You can go to johnmcgiver.com, and you can find all that information there. You can go to Cedarburg Performing Arts Center or the Oconomowoc Arts Center, and tickets are available. It's funny because they usually do a one-off or a two-off, but I have 4 shows, so they're still available in Cedarburg, and I'm doing 3 shows on Oconomowoc, and they're both sizable theaters, so there's still available seats.
All right, so we have you for one more segment. We're going to take one more break, but when we come back, I want to just get your thoughts on the differences, better, worse, pros, cons, because you've done so many different types of performing, and what you like about live performing versus doing the show versus all the other things you've done.
Perfect.
So John McGivern will be here for one more segment. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Chicken say.
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf.
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog?
Woof, woof.
Cat.
Aww.
Owl.
Ooh.
dolphin? What does the turkey say? The whale.
Yeah, whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wants to remind me of Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wants to remind me of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Voice for News Talk Radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are rounding out this hour with John McGivern. Around the hour with John McGivern. We could do this once a month. But we are talking about all of the things that he's done in his career of performing and doing television shows and live shows and storytelling and all the awards he's won. And so as someone, you know, I grew up doing theater. I then did some acting on TV sets and movie sets. And then I just did some stand-up and improv, and now somehow I found myself on the radio, and I like all of it.
Yeah.
But for you, if you had to pick one of doing either the TV show or live performing, which would you pick?
At this stage, I would pick the TV show, just okay. Because it works so much better with my, you know, I like to go to bed early. I like to get up really early. And when you're a performer, like I'm a little freaked out by the fact that I have to, for the next 2 weeks, like go do a show in the evening.
At night. I'd like to be watching Netflix at that hour.
You have no idea. So it's lifestyle wise, TV works for me.
Okay.
You know, you work really hard and then it's all during the day.
Yeah.
And by 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, you're finished. So to get going, but you know, I love the live. There's nothing better than live, and there's nothing better than theater storytelling and not stand-up-y sort of like club stuff. Like I love going to a theater that has my name on the marquee and people are there because they want to hear me. And so I just did Manitowoc, the city center in Manitowoc, had 500 people in an audience that were so, it was like magical. You know, I an hour and a half of the best. I left there thinking, why am I not doing this every night?
You know? Well, because it's also, I imagine, if you stick around and you actually get to talk to people after the show and what the show meant to them and kind of like, I think so much of what you've built with your career, whether it is the live shows or the TV shows, is just like the humanity of all of us and like the storytelling and like the so much of the feel good that most of us, when you strip away the politics and you strip away the rivalries as far as, you know, us versus Illinois, or, right. you know, stuff like that. It's like there's so much similarities and there's so much we have in common that like the true themes come out as far as like loving your family, loving your friends, being part of your community. And I would imagine that when you get to do a live show versus kind of the lack of feedback that you sometimes have from either a radio broadcast or a TV show. You're like, did they like it?
Right.
I don't know if they liked it. But with a live show, you know, because they're clapping for you.
They are. Yeah. Yeah. And you know it immediately. They're like, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I love it all. I feel so lucky, and I feel so, I'm really incredibly grateful for my career. And if tomorrow was the end, can I tell you? I've had a really, really wildly successful long run, and I'm thrilled.
Well, I guess that is a question, because as you both joked, I would never call you old, but you called yourself old.
I am old.
But you have so much energy.
Well.
And do you feel like, you know, there's people who get to do a career that they love, and there's some people who can't wait to retire because their career was always just something that paid the bills.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you're going to do this till you can't? Or do you see retirement on the horizon?
I'm, you know, as far as the TV goes,
I don't know, all of it, any of it.
But my producer is, I think she needs another 7 years, she says, before she can retire. So she's like,
so you're holding on for Lois?
You've got to give me 7 years. And I'm like, I don't think I can. I can commit to next year. This is what I always say to her.
Fair.
You know, so I'm just going to keep doing it. And can I tell you, I feel good. I feel well. I feel good. My doctor's like, you're in good shape. You're, you know, I'll keep doing it until I can't, I think.
Yeah.
I have three brothers who just continue working. And I have two sisters who are both retired. And they're like, the girls in this family like not to work. And they're like, our brothers, God, they just love to work. And we you know, we're hard workers. So I've got to continue.
I think you should.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I feel. Guaranteed, like my retirement's ways off. But as far as the blessing of finding work that you love to do, and that as long as they keep letting you do it.
I know.
Why would you not?
Because I'm waiting for somebody to be like, shut up. We are so done. Goodbye. And nobody has yet.
So. Nobody has yet. All right. So in the couple minutes that we have left, let's remind everyone all the ways that they can see you. So the show premieres in January.
January 19th. Check your PBS listings where it's going to be. The Christmas show is going to be this weekend in Cedarburg Performing Arts Center. And then the following weekend in Oconomowoc. The 14th of January, I'm doing an evening with John McGivern at the Oshkosh Opera House.
Ooh.
The Grand Opera House in Oshkosh, a space that I've performed in before. And I love this beautiful turn of the century opera house, and I love Oshkosh, so I'm going to be there, and then we start shooting season 3 of John McGivern's Main Streets again come May, and we've picked out our 13 communities for next season.
Wow. Yeah. Which one are you looking forward to the most?
We're gonna be doing Madison.
Oh
yeah,
my hometown.
So I'm thrilled to do Madison. Yeah.
And you have not done Madison before?
We did the Isthmus is what we did in Madison. Here we're going to do, we're doing State Street as a main street is what we're saying. So that's we're going to do State Street is going to be our.
Well, that is a storied history as far as State Street and Madison and all the different changes it's gone through, even in the last couple of years. I every time I go to State Street, I feel like it's different than what it looked like when I grew up running around and stuff. Because I grew up doing theater at CTM, which was the Civic Center, now the Overture Center.
Sure.
And the fact that they just let us run around on State Street and like get lunch as like a 10-year-old is like,
so
where are the adults in this situation? So, all right, John McGivern, this has been, as expected, this hour flew by.
This was fast.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I can't wait to have you back. You're a busy man, but maybe before you start filming, maybe we'll have you back in the spring.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us today.
Congratulations, you guys. Jane, it's a pleasure seeing you, and what a great fit this is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, great.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do more headlines. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
We're not comfortable
until you are
at Tri-City Services.
No,
don't touch the thermostat. It costs a fortune to run that old thing. Remember, we only turn it on when it's below freezing, and we turn it off when it's 60 in the house. We can't afford to run it any more than that. Mom and Dad had to stick a lot of money in it last year.
Wait, you put money in the furnace?
Not exactly, but it feels that way.
Well, why don't you just get a new one?
Well, we didn't exactly budget for a new one, but I wonder how much a new one costs. Call Tri-City Services for a free quote to replace the furnace that feels like it costs a fortune to operate. Tri-City offers financing to qualified credit on a new amount of furnace, and you can operate it all winter long without worrying about dipping into your kids' college fund to pay that utility bill. Call 715-423-5840 today.
We're not comfortable.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 Helpline to find an expert near you. Or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
Wisconsin Badger football. There was a lot to celebrate last season, like having the number one running back for 100-yard games and the number one defensive team in the Big Ten, or crushing it with 20 consecutive bowl games. And we've been there at every step. Or misstep. From wrecking your knee on a touchdown to falling down during the jump around, at UW Health, we're proud to be the number one orthopedic team and the number one hospital in Wisconsin, delivering the best care for every Badger. UW Health. Remarkable.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
They say the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. In the same way, the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. A journey like this takes commitment from you and me. A commitment to end poverty for good. Learn how you can help at children.org right now.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes. I'm not a criminal.
Youth Advocate Programs is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. Learn how at yapinc.org.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The city of Marshfield is debating asking citizens to pay an extra fee to cover emergency services. The city is facing a significant budget deficit and are looking at different options to make up the difference. They are considering how to word the referendum question in a way that will resonate with voters. Officials need to decide soon, as the deadline for the spring election is approaching. If they wait until November's election, their referendum question will be on the same ballot as the Marshfield School District's proposed $90 million one. Stevens Point held a public comment session to get resident feedback on the proposal to change a city ordinance on how a family is defined. Currently, the zoning code restricts single-family homes to one family and one unrelated person. The changes would increase the number of unrelated people from 2 to 3 in an effort to help solve the housing shortage in the community. After 2 hours, no consensus was reached. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Daytime highs approaching 35 this afternoon under cloudy skies, winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 18. Tonight, mainly clear skies. 34 tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Mid-30s Thursday and Friday, with a chance for snow Friday. A dusting of snow Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 28.
Fun and lovely. And again, I know that you kind of say it tongue-in-cheek, but it's truly like a state treasure as far as what the joy he's brought to so many people with, whether it's his live shows or, I mean, I didn't realize. I think maybe in the back of my brain, I knew how successful Around the Corner was.
I was not aware of it.
But I didn't realize like the ratings that they were getting for that show, that it was that watched and popular and loved. And so it makes total sense as to why they, you know,
would pick it up.
Innovated on it and expanded it, because I think when one of the things we were talking about at the break was basically, it's like, can you see a big difference when you go state to state now that you're doing shows outside of Wisconsin? And he goes, not really. Like, so many of the, like, so, you know, so much of the small town ethos
is the same.
Is similar. And I'm sure there's certain traditions. Like, I wanted to ask what you said. Was it Goshen that he said had a big Catholic, either Goshen or St. Wayne?
I think it was Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne had such a big Catholic population. I was like, do they have fish fries? Like, is that a Wisconsin Catholic thing? Or is that follow us,
follow the ethnicity?
Yeah, follow the religion and the that whole Lent fish Friday thing. But yeah, so that was a treat. But now we're going to do some headlines, some other things that caught our eye, both nationally in Wisconsin. And I guess the big one is we will finally know after tonight, unless it takes them a long time to count the ballots, but the runoff in Georgia happening today.
Yep. They're voting right now.
We are feeling for all of the Georgians as another swing state that knows what it's like to be completely inundated with political ads, that they got another month of it. And, you know, they're probably so excited to get out and vote just to be out of their house and away from their TVs.
Absolutely. Get it over with.
But it sounds like, you know, because I think it's really that feeling of, like, even for us as we prepare for the Wisconsin Supreme Court race that is, you know, 4 months from now, that feels like, oh, God, we're doing this again. So for that state to have just finished midterms part one and have another month of midterms part two.
Yeah.
And so shout out to Georgians who will finally be out of this election cycle after today. But
hopefully whoever loses will accept that they lost and then the Georgians can move on.
Well, truly, it seems like in that situation, as far as coming, you know, we're a month out from November's elections, I think Carrie Lake is really the only person who isn't accepting the results, right?
Like, in every other situation, they certified them yesterday.
No, I know. But as far as, you know, I think there was going into last month's election a conversation or a concern over, all right, well, are there going to be certain people who are not going to accept the results should they lose? And we really didn't see that.
It wasn't widespread.
No. And so here's hoping that the same goes for Georgia. But, you know, either way, Democrats have held the House. It is a 50-50.
Held the Senate.
Held the Senate, sorry. And it's 50-49 currently. And so with Vice President Kamala Harris, it's just like it was for the last 2 years. And the only reason why this really matters and impact is because 51 is better than 50, and it impacts how much the Democrats could accomplish. And that extra vote basically could mean that either Kyrsten Sinema or Joe Manchin don't have as much power as they had the first 2 years.
Which would not be a bad thing.
Which wouldn't, well, you know, for depending on what policies you're excited about. Yes, that could be good to have one more extra seat in the Senate. But largely the majority has already been decided. And I guess on my side, I just want to believe that there are enough Georgians who, even if they are Republicans, don't think that Herschel Walker is suited to be a U.S. senator.
I don't know on what planet you have to be living to look at any of the past things that he has said and think that he is even remotely qualified to be a U.S. senator. Yeah. I mean, not even a state senator. Not even a state assemblyman.
Not even a congressman.
No, a U.S. senator.
Of which there are only 100 at any given time.
It just is mind-boggling to me that he is an acceptable candidate to anybody.
Yeah, and that opens up a whole other door as far as the celebrity, because he was a very good football player.
That's great.
And he was very popular because that is a part of the country that takes their college football and their football in general very, very seriously. But like,
then go be a coach.
Yeah. And so we will be watching Georgia tonight and already their early voting's been
big
massive.
Turnout.
Big turnout.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think, again, like I said before, as far as trying to get turnout right after you've just done so much work to get people in, you'd think the default attitude would be like, God, we just did this. However, it feels like the motivation and the inspiration is there, and that there is a lot of early voting. And I haven't seen any updates as far as how lines look right now for day of voting, but certainly have some results tomorrow, or at least have some insight on which way this is going to go.
It would be nice if it would just be a route one way or the other, so there's just not a lot of speculation, and not it's not going to turn out to be so tight. But it really is important if the Democrats can pick up this extra seat, from what I understand, for judicial appointments and committee appointments, is my understanding that that 51 is important. I mean, again, we still have the majority, or the Democrats still have the majority, regardless. 51 is always better.
51 is always better than 50.
Yeah.
So we will certainly have updates for that, ideally tomorrow. So the other one that I don't know if people always, I actually didn't know the details of this deal, but so as we said, over the weekend, the U.S. men's soccer team lost to the Netherlands, so they are no longer in the World Cup, but that doesn't mean that they don't win money.
Really?
Every team that qualifies in the men's World Cup and in the women's World Cup, there is a certain amount of money, and it, depending on how far you get, dictates how much money you the team gets. And thanks to, I think, you know, probably the team that has made the most noise about the unequal pay between the two sports is the women's U.S. soccer team versus the men's U.S. soccer team, notably because
the women
historically
win.
The women have won between the Olympics and the Women's World Cup. They are very, very good. And our men's team on the global stage, not as good. And yet they make a lot more money. And largely what that came down to is because there is the pot of money for the World Cup, the men's World Cup, is infinitely more. Like the exponential amount of money in up for grabs in the men's World Cup compared to the women's World Cup, and how that money then gets distributed is what makes a big difference. So what I didn't realize is that they actually did come to a historic equal pay deal between the men and women's teams. And basically now the women's team, they're equally splitting the World Cup prize money.
Wow.
So when the men's team advanced to the round of 16, which was they lost right away, but they did get out of group play, they secured a payout of at least $13 million. And so an equal share of that money is going to go to the women's team.
That's fantastic.
And largely because, let me see if I can find these numbers, but in all, FIFA, the people who run everything with the World Cup, for the men's World Cup, it's $440 million in prize money that gets doled out between the 32 men's teams that qualify.
Where is all this money coming from?
I'm sure it comes from media deals and rights to air the World Cup. Because think about it. Half of the world's population watches the men's World Cup.
That's true.
This is the largest sporting event in the world every 4 years, far bigger than the Olympics. And for the women's, you want to take a guess of what the women's World Cup money, not just for one team, but like the total
for the
pot,
whole thing, the whole
for
schmear?
The 24 women's teams that make it to the World Cup.
$5 million.
It's more than that.
Okay, well, that's good.
It's $30 million.
And the guys are how much?
440.
Okay, there's still a slight disparity there.
And so now the American women received a $110 bonus. When they won the World Cup in 2019, it was $110,000. That was their bonus. And the men's team would have received $407,000 per person, per player, had they won the U.S. Men's World Cup. So I think this was part of what the deal was as far as what is fair, right? And this comes back to, is it about winning? Is it about how much work you put into it? Or, as always, when it comes to men's sports versus women's sports, because the money comes from media deals and there are still more people who watch men's sports than women's sports. And so it kind of just comes back to, like, what is fair? But I think, at least in my eyes, this is a good thing as far as, you know, a fair way potentially to, under the U.S. Soccer Federation, dole out salaries.
Be a little bit more equitable.
Yes.
And again, because the women have had a really good record. I mean, it's not perfect, but they have certainly won more World Cups than the men have.
I don't think the U.S. men's has won any World Cups.
Ah, there's that.
It's like the Vikings with the Super Bowl.
Ooh, nice way to slip in the blade. Nice to get it in there.
And then finally, you've probably been hearing this on our newscast. We all knew this. I think it was the most expensive governor's race in the country. It was one of the most expensive senator's race in the country. But officially, outside groups in Wisconsin's election in 2022 spent a record $93 million.
Wrap your head around that. That's almost $1 billion.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not. No. Oh,
it's almost $100 million.
See, this is why I'm on the radio.
Billion, you know.
Oh, the math.
Numbers.
Yeah, the numbers.
Who needs them?
Yeah, it's confusing. That's still a lot of money.
But it's just, and I think, and this is, it's snowing. It is, why this is problematic, and both sides are doing it because they have to, right? And it's, there's dark money on both sides. There's outside groups on both sides. There's, you know, multi-billionaires who are wheeling, and whether it's individuals or corporations who are contributing because of the things that they want in return. And it just gives such excess power to rich people than to you and I.
Wasn't that the goal of Citizens United?
Yeah.
I mean,
free speech.
Yeah. And that decision should be hung around John Roberts' neck for all of eternity, because if you thought that there was naughty money in politics before, it's so much worse now. It's
every year,
so much worse.
I mean,
worse.
Being in a swing state in Wisconsin, it is a direct, not quite doubling, but any graph of spending in Wisconsin every 2 years, each bar, each year, is bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know, in 2018, it had beat 2014, and 2014 was bigger than 2010. And it's just,
it's crazy money. It's just a crazy, crazy amount of money. And we've talked about this before. Think of all the things that could be fixed.
It's all the things that could be fixed, but it's also this idea that the outside influence, especially in something like the governor's race, where we, as the people who are living in Wisconsin, are the ones who have to deal with the decisions of that seat. To a certain extent, maybe there's an argument for the Senate seat because they're making federal policy and it's more of a national thing. But at least it's like all of these outside groups putting in their money of how they want this to go, and totally outpacing the impact, influence, our one vote or our canvassing or our however you involve yourself in a campaign, the impact it can make, even though it impacts us directly on who wins those seats. And so I don't really have a larger point beyond it's just exhausting that it keeps coming back to just how much money is doled out in media buys and then evaporated and could be solving actual problems. But I don't have a solution for that, so. All right, stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The energy call today was used to meet as you love
the Archbishop is waving to the crowd.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figuerella, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council. You don't know
my
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Progressive Talk, from Big Bend to Menominee Falls, always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
All my babies coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news, man, ain't that news. Baby's coming home tomorrow.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us today during your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. We're going to do some good news. We're going to start having more regular segments about good things that are happening in the state or across the country. But quickly, before we get to that story, so in the promos for today's show that I post all over our social media for As Goes Wisconsin, which you can find and follow on Twitter and Facebook and TikTok and Instagram.
All the places,
except not yet on Post News or Mastodon, or I have not had the bandwidth to go try to build a net new profile on the Twitter alternatives, but
we'll see what happens to the Bird app. Yeah.
But I said that John McGivern is a state treasurer, but I don't know if I should have capitalized state treasurer, because I did, and I just had multiple people comment, when did John McGivern run for state treasurer?
Oh, no. We should call him and tell him he's been nominated.
No, he'd probably win.
He probably would.
It's like just that extra R totally changes the meaning of a state treasurer versus the state treasurer.
That's hilarious.
It also probably indicates how many people who work in politics follow As Goes Wisconsin.
Good point.
That's where their brain goes.
Yeah.
But I found this story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It was written by Devi Shastri. And I started crying just reading it, because I don't know. It feels like it's that time of year, and we currently have some family friends and some family who are likely going to be spending the holidays in the hospital. Mike's step grandfather, who was 96, passed over the weekend. So, you know, it's a hard time. It's always hard to lose people that you love and
sure.
Have people lose their battles with whatever they're struggling with. But it feels extra hard around the holidays.
Yeah.
And this story just got me. And so it's Therese Ulicki, who in 2017 was battling breast cancer, and she did end up passing in 2019. But her sons, as she was going through treatment and chemotherapy, raised money to be able to give her flowers every day of her treatment.
Oh.
And they raised so much money that it afforded her even more flowers than more than one bouquet for herself. And so what she started doing as she was going to treatment is, this was at Frederick Hospital, that she had her bouquet, but then she would always gift a bouquet to someone else who was also going through treatment.
That's so lovely.
And I guess her sons, according to the story, her sons didn't know that she was doing this. And they always just were like, I wonder what she's doing with the other bouquet. And it turns out she was paying it forward, and she was giving it to other people. And so since she's passed, they've continued the tradition of they've started a nonprofit in her name called Teresa's Flowers of Hope. And they've completed like around 150 deliveries to people who are still going through chemo and battling cancer, and delivering flowers to them on the days of their treatment. It just feels like, you know, it's just little things as far as people showing up. And especially it's one thing when you show up for strangers like that. And I just loved that story.
Well, isn't it nice to have people restore some faith in humanity? Because I think the last couple of years have been so challenging and there's so much bad news. And then to see something like this and hear about something like this that is... may seem like a small thing, but for the person who's going through that treatment, to get a fresh bouquet of flowers just to show some support and love. And I think we all need that. We all need these little lovely moments. And what a wonderful testament to their mother and her generosity.
Absolutely. And I think what her sons have said is like, it's being... the demonstration or the giving of these bouquets, you know, demonstrates that the people who are not alone as far as when they're going through this treatment and as far as what their mother went through, what other people are going through when it comes to chemotherapy, which I have not had anyone close to me that I know of, unless I'm forgetting someone. But as far as being close while they were going through chemotherapy, everything I know about it is that it is awful.
Yeah, this is not something that you want to do if you don't have to.
Yeah.
And like you said, just to know that you're not alone, there is someone thinking of you in a positive way and sending good vibes your way, I just think is priceless.
And you should check out, if you can, go check out the story, because these are not small bouquets.
This makes a statement.
These are large, takes both hands to carry beautiful flowers.
Wow.
Are you a flower person, right?
I am.
And they're absolutely beautiful. And so you can, if you would like to either donate or learn more about the organization and what they're doing, it's Teresa's Flowers of Hope, and they have a Facebook page, and it's Therese, T-E-R-E-S, apostrophe S, flowers. Because I think, you know, whether it's something that it also feels like something easy you could probably do. I mean, it's obviously expensive, but just showing up for people during the holidays, especially as they're battling different health things, because it is a hard time of year to be sitting alone in a hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And so, that was the good story of the day. I'm sure there's other ones that we could find, but we have some other stories that we'll sprinkle throughout the rest of the show. Did you hear that? I don't want to give away the secret yet, but do you know what the word of the year is according to Oxford?
I do not.
Well, we'll maybe talk about that later in the show, then.
All right.
It's a word that it's a phrase, term, colloquialism I had not heard before. So it's a little surprising to me that it is the word of the year. But now that I know what it is, maybe I'll start using it. But we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, Kylie Peters from Rain 9 is going to be here to talk about the new thing she's starting called the 100 Collective, which is helping women uplift other women. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Ain't that news? Ain't that good news? Man, I know that's good news. My baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? I'm gonna have her a party at the station. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Have a party at the station. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news? I can't wait to get a home where we can finally be alone. Disconnect my telephone. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Ain't that news? Ain't that good news? Man, 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 ain't that news? My baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, It's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing.